The podcast you're about to hear is a comedy show intended for an adult audience, and it contains explicit language. All opinions are our own, and we may sometimes go on tangents that are not at all about figure skating. Strap in, enjoy, and remember, our safe word is Quad Sal. Let's go. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you, Netta?
I'm good. I just came home from skate practice. My toes are still probably there. I don't know. I can't feel them. But I'm here, and I'm excited to talk about other people skating.
Yeah, and today we were going to talk about the 2024 NHK Trophy, which was held at the Yoyogi National Gymnasium in Tokyo, Japan.
Indeed it was. I struggle with this rank, and I can't tell you why. Something about it doesn't look real to me. So for the entirety of this event, anytime it'd be a wide shot of this blue expanse, I would just be looking at it like I don't know if any of this is real. I don't know. Maybe I'm like too on edge trying to detect AI generated shit in my daily life, that just seeing like a solid color, like something that could be in like a PS2 game, confused my brain so much.
You were worried that we clipped into the back rooms for this competition?
Yeah, well, I'm worried that I clip into the back rooms like all the time for all kinds of reasons. But yeah, something about it is disconcerting to my brain, which is not to say that I didn't have a great time with the event itself, because I did. It's but just like, I'm not sure if it was real.
No, but you know what I kept getting distracted by was there were these two gigantic blue pipes in the wall, and it looked like eyeballs to me. And like it was doing that thing where it turned something into a face. And I kept thinking that the wall was a face, or there was a face in the wall. So we were both just having like a nightmarish time.
Wow.
This is what I'm saying
is I keep glitching. It's great. It's great.
You mean in your audio or in life?
In life.
Oh.
My audio is fine. In life, I'm struggling a little bit. Do you want to talk about women?
I do, yes. I wanted to talk about the fact that we have, as Kaori Sakamoto adorably pointed out, a 1-2-3 Japan podium sweep.
Again. It keeps happening. I'm personally thrilled. It does terrify me about the prospects of Japanese nationals. That's going to be a whole thing. It terrifies me for when I think ahead to world's team. But as of right now, with the sweeps, I'm having a great time. Very thrilled. Very excited.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. In third place with the bronze medal is Yuna Aoki.
Do you want to teach the people how to say her name right?
Now I'm doubting myself. I think Aoki is a tough one because in Japanese it would be pronounced Aoki, but there are famous people such as Steve Aoki, who is like Japanese American, I believe, yeah, who pronounces it Aoki. And so we are also used to hearing it that way. So I would want to defer to how she says it. And I don't know. Like, I assume it would be Aoki because that's how the announcer in Japanese said it. But I actually have no idea. So we'll have to call her and ask her.
Okay, let's talk about those programs. First of all, thrilled to see her on the podium. She didn't have that great of a showing at her first Grand Prix assignment, but my God, did she shine here. I'm so thrilled that we're seeing, I can't believe I'm saying this, I'm so thrilled that we're seeing so many like Piazzolla moments and so much like tango this season. I didn't even realize that I'd missed it.
And like, can you believe, like, if you look back on probably like the first season of this show, it was so much of us just being like, we're sick of Piazzolla, we're sick of red and black tango, like, shut it down, it's too much. And it's like, isn't that the way the nostalgia machine works? Is that now, yeah, it's been enough time that we look back and we're like, yes, these are the glory days.
Yeah, well, it's been over a full quad. So I feel like we are entitled to reminisce about the good old days of 6 years ago. I don't know. I always enjoy a tango. Like, that's my dirty little secret, is that I'm, even if everyone skates a tango, I'm still gonna be like, okay, this kind of bangs. As long as people commit to, like, the drama and the performance of it all, which I think Yuna does. So I am not complaining.
Yeah, I actually think I totally agree with you. The thing that sets it apart for me this season versus, I guess I would think, like, 2018, 2019 was, for me, the last season where it was super ubiquitous like this. And I think that what sets it apart for me, yeah, is the performance, is that everybody who's doing one, more or less, has at least, like, stepped up to the plate and is committed to some degree, but, like, at least a little bit to the story and the attitude and the drama. I think that the last, you know, the 2018, 2019 season, I feel like we saw a lot of, like, meh, like, phoning it in kind of tangos. I'm not experiencing that as much this year, and certainly not with Yuna.
Agreed. So I am not mad at it. I'm also not mad about the popsicle. I know we've already talked about popsicle spelled like that, but that, I think her free skate is so pretty.
Popsicle.
I don't know how you're supposed to popsicle, but
popsicle. It's French now. I don't know why, but it just is.
Yeah, it's happened. I think her collaborations with Misha are very successful. She's been working with him for, like, years and years and years at this point. And I feel like it's one of those collaborations where you can really tell that choreographer gets the quality of movement of the skater, and then the skater, like, knows what the choreographer is getting at with the choreo. I think it's a really nice collaboration.
Yeah, Misha really, really excels. I think I've said this before. I don't know if I said it recently on Main or on the bonus stream, but I just think Misha really excels at making just really, like, beautiful programs to, like, kind of classical-ish instrumental music. And, like, I just think that that's, you know, I think Yuna is just a beautiful skater. And so I think that that's why it works, you know?
Yeah, agreed. In second place, and it's weird that this is her first Grand Prix medal. It feels incorrect, but it is her first Grand Prix medal.
What?
And silver. Yeah. Yeah, right? It feels insane, but
that's,
it's true.
Surely not. But what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
She's never had a Grand Prix medal before, and now she got to win one in Japan. Part of this Japanese sweep, we have Monet Chiba, who just, her packaging this year is so smart. I love it so much. I love that we're in, like, the Donna Summer revival.
It's so good to me. I'm so here for it. Oh my god.
I don't know how we've arrived here. I don't know why everyone is last dancing and, in general, Donna Summering. But I'm not mad at it. I find it so joyful, and I do like just having fun with this. Like, I love a big dramatic skate, right? But sometimes there are several queens out there who just want to do disco, and I think we should let them.
I think that this pink and golds, that's the last dance dress, right? I'm not mixing it up. The pink and golds to me is a perfect dress, and it is the kind of dress, like, I feel like I'm going insane when I look at it, because I swear to God that I have a memory of being, like, 4 years old watching skating and being like, if I could design my own dress to skate in. And I feel like I designed this dress,
like,
in another
the
universe.
Platonic ideal of, like, a perfect little skater dress.
Yeah, like the pink with the gold with, oh, it's so perfect. I love it so much. It's just, like, satisfying. Like, when you see, like, a really beautiful, like, a beautifully decorated cake or something, it's just like, yes.
For some reason, that's reminded me when I was little. I must have been, like, what, like, 5 years old. One of the FIFA games came out, which is football. It's soccer, but we're going to talk about it for a second. That game had a panel where you could design your own team and give them their own uniforms. And I remember so excitedly designing soccer uniforms for my male football players, and they were functionally Dunkin' Donuts colors. It was like a very, like, deep pink and a bright orange. And, like, their, like, little emblem on the front was a little heart, which I think I drew, like, pixel by pixel in this, like, generation menu. And then I showed it to my dad, and he was like, okay, this is not what soccer uniforms are usually like. Which is to say that I do agree with you that this color scheme and just the sparkle of it all is kind of a transcendent, like, childhood ideal of sports clothing.
That's hilarious. You kind of went, you did like the cuntification of soccer before Ted Lasso, yeah. Which is very exciting. I also think if you're willing to extend the meaning of football to mean American football, I know the New England Patriots would absolutely love to do a Dunkin' Donuts themed game.
Oh my
like,
God.
Just as a New England child, I feel like you might be able to sell that to the Patriots.
Well, we don't go here as a podcast, but Dunkin' Donuts, as far as I know, do a lot of very bizarre collabs. So I feel like that's not out of the realm of possibility. So if anyone wants to design like a pink and orange kit for like any sport, please know that I've been there for like 25 years and I would support you so dearly.
I also support Monet Chiba so dearly. And I totally, it's not that I didn't believe you, but like I just was in disbelief that this is her first Grammy medal, but it is. It's last year she came in sixth she came in sixth and ninth respectively at her placements. But then she did so well at Japan Nationals, she came in second there that they placed her at Four Continents where she won. And I mean, I guess it was a little bit of a surprise, but I also remember thinking like, yeah, this makes sense. She's amazing.
It doesn't feel like, oh my God, up and comer getting like a random silver. It very much feels like this has been part of the story for a while now. And I'm thrilled that she finally gets to add a Grand Prix medal to her collection.
Yeah, I think it's just about when are you peaking, right? And I think I have to imagine that success at the Grand Prix is about just peaking sooner. Not peaking, I don't want to say peaking because then that implies a decline, but just like locking into your new program sooner. And so I'm really glad that whatever she's doing to get there is working for her, because I love to see her succeed.
Agreed. Yeah. Do you have any particular thoughts about her Lori Nicole free skate? It's the Ariana Concerto. And my household had a whole thing where we were like, is this going to be, you know, deep symphonic Lindsay Sterling covers of Ariana Grande songs? Sorry to report it wasn't.
It was not. It was going to be like full Bridgerton. Like, ooh. My power is flickering. What is going on?
I have lost you.
Ready? 1, 2, 3. So one thing I want to, I could very easily edit this out, but I did want to point out that we did just randomly had a power outage for a few minutes. And I think because we were talking about the Ariana Concerto.
Yes.
What we can conclude from this is that Ariana must be friends with Carmen, the ghost.
Yes. She didn't want me to speak ill of her and imply that she's Ariana Grande's. She's a very separate Ariana. And she sabotaged this entire bit. And I respect that.
Yeah, so now we have a new vengeful female ghost in our posse, and I kind of love that for us.
Holy shit, are you gone again? Is that what's
Am
happening?
I?
No, you're back. Okay, you're back. Okay. Oh my God, for a second there was complete silence, and I was like, damn, Ariana is like really strong.
Well, no, what I said was that we have a new vengeful female ghost in our posse, and I love that for us.
Wow, we're truly, truly building a coven. Is it a coven when it's ghost? I'm not sure. We're building a fleet of ghosts. Get it?
Yeah, what is
they
the
fly?
Group? Yeah, I was going to say, what's the group term for ghosts? I don't know.
The collective pronoun for ghosts. A haunt. I like a haunt.
A haunt is cute.
While I'm mentioning Ariana's, and my apologies to the ghost, I'm going to speak about the other one. How many Wicked programs do you think we're going to see next year?
Oh, gosh, a lot. Well,
I'm so prepared for so much green and pink.
I'm interested to see whether the girlies whether they're like, oh, I'm an Elphaba or I'm a Glinda, or whether they just do all of it as like a medley.
I feel like we're gonna get some of both. I would like is, and we can talk more about this once the movie is out and we've seen it, and maybe we can do a bonus ep or something. What I would like to see is one of the guys just doing a full Dancing Through Life. Like, it doesn't have to be a witch's.
That's true. That's true. I would like to see Jonathan Bailey just on ice, just doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, get him on, like, what is it? Dancing on Ice? Is that it?
He's English. It's perfect. He can just go. I don't know what that they require English citizenship for that, but he could.
No, I don't think they do, but he could. Hey, British television, if you're listening, we have pitches and ideas about this beautiful man.
I also just remembered that, speaking of the Wicked movie, I had a really vivid dream last night that I was hanging out with Jeff Goldblum.
Elaborate.
Well, because I was watching Jurassic Park last night, but
okay.
In the dream, he was just himself, and he was at a wedding that I was at, and Everyone was staying in the same large mansion that was like attached to a mall or something. I don't know. You know how dream places are. And we were in public, and I was like, I wonder if Jeff Goldblum is nervous that people are going to, like, give him a hard time and recognize him when he's just being a wedding guest. And he came out in, like, I swear to God, like, cowboy boots with tap dancing, like, taps on them and started tap dancing in the middle. I'm like, okay, he just likes attention. But anyway.
That tracks. All due respect to Jeff, who I'm sure is a wonderful person, but...
I actually have heard he might not be, so,
whatever. Oh, God damn it. Well, you know who's probably a wonderful person is gold medalist, winner of the NHK Trophy 2024, and of my heart, Miss Kaori Sakamoto, who has now secured her ticket to the final in Grenoble.
What a woman.
What a woman. I'm so thrilled that we finally got to see all that jazz performed the way it's fucking supposed to be performed. I'm not even going to harp on it. Y'all were non-believers. And that's on you. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. I mean, like, was there any doubt that she could rise to the occasion? I think it really brought out something new in her. And I think that that's, I mean, exactly what the goal was every time, is to reach a new understanding of performance.
Yeah.
And she's doing that, so.
I agree. I'm thrilled with this. It looked like she was having so much fun with it. Her interviews were fun. I loved her winner interview where she said that Yuna had to text her while they were getting ready because she was being too loud while getting her makeup done, or like while doing her makeup, because she was watching the boys. She was watching the men's event and she was cheering for Tatsuya so much that Yuna had to text her from next door and be like, can you please shut up? Which I think is so funny.
So next time you're at a competition and the fun police are mad at you for cheering too loud, you have to know that Kaori Sakamoto is a loud cheerer and nobody will stop her and nobody should stop you.
Amen. I've told you about the one time my mom was mad at me for being too loud at an Evanescence concert.
That's really funny.
Yeah, no, it was my last arena concert before the pandemic. And I didn't know that at the time, but I was seeing one of my childhood favorite bands and was like fully shrieking. And my mom, like, because I was with my mom because she's cold like that. But she had to be like, can you like quiet down a little bit? And I'm like, I'm literally at a metal concert. No, I'm not going to quiet down. So anyway, it's nice to see that Kari is representation for the loud screamers.
And for those of us who treat ice skating competitions like a metal concert. Solidarity.
I mean, isn't it the same thing?
Yeah, it is to me.
Yeah, in all levels except physical, I felt the exact same seeing Kaori 5 years ago, Jesus Christ, 5 years ago at the Grand Prix de France, as I do anytime I see heavy metal be played on stage. I know Evanescence is not a heavy metal. Don't know no one at me.
I loved her ending pose where she like fell and then just did like a little like ta-da at the end.
The low wrist flick.
Like, it was so cute.
The ability, I think that's one of the like real marks of a rock star for me personally in terms of skaters, is the ability to like make a joke out of the teeny tiny blemish. Like, once you've already done everything perfect and then you just kind of ever so slightly slide on the very last second of it, by all means, play it off. Like, make the audience laugh. I think it's very, very charming.
Yeah, 100%. So just like everything else she does, very, very charming. Cannot wait to see her in the Grand Prix final.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. The number crunching is going to start after this week, but we're in for a very fun final, and I couldn't be more excited and thrilled about it. And then there's men.
And then there's men.
Well, I already mentioned him slightly. We're moving on to men, where we didn't have a sweep because the men manned extremely, and things happened, and we do have to talk about that. However, in third place, holding firm and steady, and he didn't man. He was third in the short, third in the free, third overall. We do have Tatsuya Tsuboi of Japan, who I'm growing very fond of this season.
Yeah, I was so thrilled to see him medal at this event. I think, is this also his, is it his first Grand Prix medal? I think it is.
I think it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it very much is.
He's always been sort of like B team for the Japan men for the past like quad or so. And, you know, he's always been kind of on the fringes. And I'm just like so thrilled to see him have like a star moment because he just really went out there and killed it.
Yeah, he did so good. I'm also obsessed with his free skate. I'm obsessed with the concept of his free skate because Dr. He is Pagliacci.
Doctor, I am Tatsuya Tsuboi.
I find it so delightful. I like that there is clearly some nods to like clownery, as in the art form, not as in the meaning of it all, in the costume with the little rhombi. I find it delightful. And I also think he really, like, delivers. I really, really enjoy it.
I love it so much. I think it's like, you know, like, if we're going to do opera, like, you know, not, like, we don't always have to do Ness and Dorma. Sometimes we can clown it up. We can sad clown it up.
Yeah. I mean, I always want to be doing Ness and Dorma, but I agree. I enjoy this very much. I Pagliacci is currently in the repertoire of the Sofia Opera, and I wasn't considering going to see it, but now I've been maybe inspired.
But what if you get there and Tatsuya Tsuboi isn't there?
Yeah. Oh my God. I go and no one's skating. I would be so disappointed.
What if you are inspired by Tatsuya Tsuboi to go see this opera, and then you get there, and then when you get there, they're like, hurry up, you're on in five. And then you have to be like, but Tatsuya Tsuboi, I am Pagliacci.
I mean, I am a drag artist, so regrettably showing up and realizing I am indeed the clown everyone's waiting for is intimately familiar to me. So I wouldn't even be surprised.
Yeah, you would kill it.
I don't think I'd be surprised. I mean, if everyone at the opera is fine with seeing, like, a very belty musical theater soprano, I think we're going to be fine.
I would be.
Oh, my God. You're not a purist?
No, I'm not.
Okay, look, we're doing right now is we're procrastinating.
Yeah.
So the men meant.
They did.
And the men meant in a way where a guy who shouldn't be allowed to be skating because he's missed 3 doping tests and has generally made bad choices for himself and his career, ended up in silver with he was 5th in the short, 2nd in the free, and silver overall, because that's how math works. And we are indeed talking about resident weird man Italy's Daniel Grassel. Well, he used to be a funky boy, right? And now he's right. Just like a weird guy.
I know. And there was so much discourse on Twitter about how there was like a moment in time when everyone was like, oh, Daniel Grassel, he's like the artist of the time. And I was with that, to be honest with you. Like, I always recognized that there was something ugly and weird about the way he moved, but I found it compelling in like a modern dance kind of way.
Yes.
And I think that his early program sort of leaned into that. And then once he started trying to do less weird themed programs, it became obvious that, oh, he just like that's just what he does. And I think it's pretty unsavvy to give him anything that's not a weird program. Agreed. But that's what we have done, and it's just getting ridiculous at this point.
I did want to bring that up because I also saw the discourse that was like, how did anyone ever like him? And I feel like we have a very extensive record, which basically extends like the duration of his senior career, give or take, where we very much have been kind of reckoning with, this kid is sort of weird. And when he was like a little weird kid doing like bizarre spin positions, that was kind of charming. Now, however, he's what, a 22-year-old man. We're not going to talk about his short because it's nothing to write home about. I do want to talk about this mess of a free skate.
Oh my God. You said, because you said you were like, oh, the men meant. And I was like, one of the men, little Boyd.
One of the men, I hate that. But
I hate it so much. I hate it.
Okay. So for those of you who don't know Billy Elliot, the musical, right? It's based on Billy Elliot, the film. And it's about a young boy, a working class British boy, who is supposed to go boxing, but ends up skating and, Jesus Christ, not skating, doing ballet instead. And it's a very moving show. It's very much about a child. I am actively trying to find how old he's supposed to be. Because I'm pretty sure we know. I
guess like 11 or 12 maybe.
Okay,
top.
So it takes part in like 84, 85 during the coal miners' strike. Stars Look Down is one of the most beautiful songs in contemporary musical theater, and you can fight me on that. But we have this child, Billy Elliot, who... Yeah, he ends up wanting to do ballet, and he's like a little working class kid, and it's like, no, you're supposed to be like strong boy, and that doesn't happen. All this to say, he's not 22 years old, and Grassel is very much portraying the part of Billy. I would almost be fine if he like used music from the show, but wasn't like costume to look like he's a little boy in ballet class. There's something viscerally uncomfortable about it.
Yeah, because there's also, I mean, I know in my heart that this is not what they were going for, but I feel like you could argue there's that part at the end, spoilers, where Billy does a pas de deux with his older self, who's like an accomplished ballet dancer. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's the older self, but it's not, because he's in the iconic Billy Elliot costume of the little boy.
Yeah, and I saw someone like try to contextualize for the people of the internet why he's just skating in a little white t-shirt and black pants. And honestly, if he was a junior, if he was like 16 years old and he was doing that at like the junior level, I would think it's very smart and kind of minimalist and kind of interesting. That's only half of the problem here, though. The other part of the problem is that it's not just cleanly a Billy Elliot program, because there's just like some ballet music in there. There's like some Debussy and like whatever else. I can't remember what else is in there.
There's Satie. And then also Satie. Like there's music cuts from Black Swan.
Okay. Yeah. And then it cuts back to Born to Boogie from Billy Elliot, which like, fine. Are we establishing that we're in the world of a musical? And then instead of just doing like Swan Lake, which like I would understand. Like, sure, he learns how to be a ballet dancer. He becomes a ballet dancer. Why does he become the original soundtrack of the movie Black Swan as opposed to the musical Swan Lake?
I have so many questions. And also, correct me if I'm wrong. It says it starts with electricity. It's like just a little tiny bit of it, right?
Yeah. God, I'm so grateful we don't get like little British boy, I can't do the accent.
But it's just the speaking part at the beginning, right? Where she's like... Yeah. She's like, what does it feel like when you're dancing, Billy? And I think that, like, I don't even understand why I use that, because there's a whole version of it that's Elton John singing it. And I'm like, we have grown men singing this song at home. Why didn't you just, it's baffling to me. But also, okay, It's been a really long time since I've seen. I saw this movie when I was a kid, and then I saw the musical. Actually, I was lucky enough to see like the original run of it in London before it transferred to Broadway.
Oh, sick!
Which was really, really cool. I remember sitting in. What's the name of the theater? It's like Victoria and Albert or something.
It was at the Victoria Palace. Yes,
the Victoria Palace. Yeah, and it was like Victoria and or Albert. And I was sitting in like the steepest rake seating ever, just like sobbing into my program. And that's like my main memory of it. But I respect that.
I've seen both Wicked. I think used to be there, and also I just last year saw Hamilton there.
Oh,
and I was weeping all the way up in the nosebleeds. A very familiar experience. It's a very narrow theater. It's a very steep place.
But I couldn't remember. I was like, maybe these classical songs are in it as like songs that he dances to. Is that not the case?
In the show, yes, but it's like always snippets. And he never, again, cannot stress this enough, skates to the soundtrack for the movie Black Swan, which is, as of the time where the movie takes place, about like 24 years away from coming out.
The musical takes place still like 10 years from coming out.
Yeah, it's like, my god, it's confusing. He was very proud of it.
He was. And I also want to say, like, I don't always watch the galas. Oftentimes I don't. I just feel like cramming, like it's not cramming, like obviously I love skating and I want to watch as much as possible, but some weekends it's hard for me to just get in all of the competitions, and so the gala just feels like too much to then cram in. But the timing of it worked out so that it kind of felt like a fun thing to stay up late for the other night, so I watched it. And his gala is Too Sweet by Hozier. And so now he's going to come out the day after he did his little boy program and be like, now I'm a sexy man. And it didn't work for me. It was upsetting. I don't like it.
Yeah, I feel like you should pick your struggle. And I don't think either one of those struggles should be the one he picked. I also don't think that the struggle he picks should be social media managing. I do need to talk to you about this. So this man, right, he wins silver at NHK, and then he goes on the internet again. We have to repeat, this is a man that we don't just dislike because he's weird. He skipped doping tests. He should have been banned, but like by some virtue of something or other isn't. He very much went to train at Sambo, which I'm not even gonna get into right now. But he has been that sort of figure on the internet. So he goes on Instagram and he posts, and I have promised some people on the internet that I'm going to do a dramatic reading of this. So I'm going to just try to do that cold read, one take, and then I'm going to talk you through several points of this caption. Okay, and I will be reading the emojis as well because they're an important part of this. He goes, NKH, silver medal emoji. Finally,
wait, he said NKH. I'm so sorry to interrupt, but I missed that.
Yes. No, that's the first thing, is he misspells the name of the trophy. Oof. He misspells the name of the trophy. And
it was
then
only
he
three
goes,
letters, buddy.
Yeah, no. It's too many letters. He's just a little boy in ballet class. He can't read or write.
He can't weed.
He can't weed, but he does say, finally me, smiling again, after two very tough years. I have to thank so many people for believing in me and always staying by my side. First of all, my whole team, my coach and management, who trusted me and helped me to get where I am today. The Italian Skating Federation and Fiamme Oro, who never gave up on me and always supported me throughout difficult times. My family, my friends, and all of my fans. A special shout out also to my haters, who gave me a lot of motivation to show them what I'm capable of. This is just the beginning. Thanks for watching me, winky face, period. I'm very happy, and I can't wait to perform again in Finland. Finnish flag. I skate for fun. I skate for myself. Love my sport and what I do. See you soon. Red heart emoji.
That's so much. Like, do less.
It's so much.
Do less.
I don't know. I understand, like, coming back to competition, blah, 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 blah. I understand, like, being like, hey, shout out to my team. I don't know why we're doing an Oscar acceptance speech. I don't know why we're doing the whole, you know, pulling out a list of, you know, the Italian Skating Federation and the fucking, like, president of Italy and whatever the fuck. Also, a special shout out also to my haters. He really thinks he's the anti-hero.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm just looking at his Wikipedia, trying to understand the timeline of when he was coached where, because it appears he's kind of jumped around quite a lot in mm-hmm. the past few years. And that, for the record, is the reason that he gave for missing his doping test, is that he had to update where he lived or where he was training, and he did it incorrectly or didn't do it. And that's why the missed test, it was a bureaucratic thing. It wasn't whatever, which I'm like, okay, if you're training with somebody who's had some doping issues, I don't know if that's like a great excuse, but anyway, it was requested that he had a 2-year suspension, and apparently that just like didn't happen. So, or like it was 1 year, I don't know, but he's back, and that's what that was.
Yeah.
But moving around so much, it's wild. And I'm stuck on this sentence. He said when he was training in Moscow, he felt under pressure, as many people are against me and my decision to train with Tutbritza. And I'm like, so that's the haters or the people who said you shouldn't train with a Terry? Like, what?
His whole kind of victim complex, you may not know my story, but you know my name, it was all a social experiment, and I'm 17 steps ahead of everyone kind of thing, is so fucking boring, is the thing. There's one thing, right, where you could acknowledge that there's people who don't like you and be like, hey, despite all of this, I'm doing my thing. And it's a completely different thing to be there like, y'all will see, this is like, I'm just getting started, this is all for my haters. It's like, baby boy, what are we doing here? Are you like, this is not how you ingratiate yourself to the general public to start liking you again.
Yeah, it's easy for me to say because I'm old as hell compared to him. I mean, 34 is very different than 22. But I think it just, to me, it seems like he just cares too much about what other people think. And I think that that's something that like most 22-year-olds are dealing with. So I don't know. I wish there were people in his team who were helping him to just care less about how he was perceived or what people thought of him.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. Wait, hold on. I have a conspiracy theory about the free skate. I'm sorry to return to Billy Elliot, but I do need to talk about this. Do you think because he's now coming back, weaseling his way back to the scene with something to prove and so many haters, but I do think he wants to be like ingratiating himself and getting back into everyone's good graces. Do you think that's why he's taking up the part of weird little balletic boy again? Do you think he is hoping that we see that and we remember his Nureyev, or that we remember him, you know, teeny tiny and skating to Charlie Chap? Like, is that, are we like trying to suggest to the subconscious of the audience that he's still little quirky little prince and we should just love him anyway?
If he wanted to do that, for me personally, he needs to wear a more interesting costume, because I loved his weird little like blousy satin situation he used to rock. I could get into this and I won't, but I think if you're going to pull off like a really, really, really stripped down, like it's just a t-shirt or it's just an Under Armour shirt or whatever, I think you need to have your brand be like the quad god or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I think you have, like, if your brand is artsy boy and you want to be seen that way, put on some puffy sleeves is all I'm saying.
Yeah. I guess even if the culmination was meant to just be, you know, he ends up in Black Swan, again, the film, not the ballet Swan Lake. He could have just done like that. He could have just been male lead and... Who plays that part?
Benjamin Millipede?
Sure. Yes, it's him. Point being, he could have just done like, you know, princely, balletic, weird puff sleeve or something, if the point was to finally see him as like the ballet prince or whatever the fuck. I don't know if that's the goal. That's my conspiracy theory. My second conspiracy theory is that the Italian Skating Federation just really wants to have a bunch of men for their home Olympics, so they're willing to overlook some stuff and some things.
Yeah, that's fair. That's extremely fair.
Yeah, but that's, again, just a conspiracy theory, and I love Italy. Please don't come after me.
Yeah. One conspiracy theory that I think we can all agree on is that Yuma won.
Oh, my God. He did. I don't think it's a conspiracy theory if it happened in real life.
That's true.
Yeah, Yuma won. I do tend to very strongly believe that he is perhaps the strongest skater that we have overall in this current array of funky little men.
I completely agree with you, because if I were to conjure up in my mind, like, who are the guys who are consistently winning aside from Yuma? I think it's, like, Ilya. I think there's, like, an argument to be made for, like, Kalmira, Adam, like, all of the really, like, bombastic, in-your-face kind of, like, doing flips and shit kind of, you know, Cal, I would say, is not doing flips and shit, but I think he and Shinsato actually both skate, like, amazingly well, but with a sense of urgency and almost, like, clinging to, like, I wish I could think of a non-stupid way to say this, but what it reminds me of is, like, if you've seen Dune 2, like, when Timothée rides the worm, and it's just, like, he's just, like, clinging on for dear life, like, that's how I feel with a lot of men's figure skating, like, they're just, they're just clinging on, right? And Yuma, for me, is, like, the one guy who consistently is, like, he is the worm, like, he's making everything happen, he's completely in control, and that, I don't know, I can see how, like, that could maybe come off as understated or not as exciting, but to me, that's, like, so clearly head and shoulders above everybody else.
Agreed. It also just feels correct when he gets called onto the ice, presented onto the ice with all of his accolades. Because I feel like because he had to be away for a tiny bit, people do forget that he's quite literally an Olympic silver medalist already.
That's true. And I think I didn't, if it's not new, I certainly didn't notice it last time, but I just need to talk about the Cunty Longhorn Steakhouse shirt because I love it.
I think it's the platonic ideal of if you're going to be doing, quote unquote, a Spanish medley, yes. Yes, that. Like, lean all the way in. Have it be red and black. Have it have a weird Taurus situation. I think it's perfect.
It's absolutely perfect. Like, Yuma just gets it. And I just adore him, and I want all the best for him. I feel like this is a pretty good sign he's going to go to the final, and I cannot wait.
Yes, agreed. I'm so thrilled. I love both of his programs. I love A Sound of Silence always, so I'm thrilled to see his take on that as well. I'm just happy he's back, and he seems to be, like, you know, doing the whole thing consistently, because last year was kind of like, oh my god, he's back from injury, and, like, how is it gonna go? And now it's, like, his second season being so, like, solidly back, and I feel like it's gonna, we're on a good trajectory.
We are, and I just need him to keep that confidence and that control, because that's what's gonna be there for him every single time. That's what sets him apart. And one of these days, that's what's gonna get him to the top of a podium if somebody makes a mistake or something, you know.
Agreed. I do think he's very much capable of even beating Ilya if that's how things go down. I can speak. Yeah, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled for him. I'm excited to see how the rest of his season goes. The rest of preseason as well. But at this point, I think that's it for those podiums.
It is. I would love to take you to a very special edition of Plushie Corner.
Please do.
So there weren't really any, like, throne plushies, as far as I could tell. It seems like
weren't allowed. Yeah, there was, in the beginning of events, there was the kind reminder to please not toss anything to the people.
Yes. So I want to take a second and talk about Domo-kun, who is...
Oh my god, please do.
So Domo-kun is the mascot of NHK, which is not just a trophy. It is, like, the broadcasting, it's the public broadcasting channel in Japan. Mm-hmm. And, Domo is their mascot, and apparently he appears in these, like, interstitial, like, bumpers for the station. Mm-hmm. And he has friends, and because who's this bear situation, like, who are these people? They show up every year, and I just wanted to know who they were. So I looked it up, and there's lore.
Oh my God.
We've talked a little bit about Domo on this show before, but I don't know that we've gotten into the lore of his friends. So I just want to say, that I did a lot of reading on this, and so I'm going to read to you from Wikipedia, which was actually the most comprehensive source on this. I did look at other sources for once for this very important piece of journalism. But okay, so Domo is a brown furry monster with large sawtoothed mouth that is locked wide open. He was apparently born on from an egg in a cave.
Wait, he's not a anything bird adjacent. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, he's an interesting species where he's like a warm-blooded mammal that was hatched from an egg for some reason. Okay. I don't really know. But he lives in a cave, and he lives there with Mr. Usagi, who is the bunny. And I would have sworn the bunny was a woman. She was giving feminine energy, but Mr. Usagi is actually an old man, so like, good for him. And
he's one of those old queens.
He's an old queen.
We love him.
He's an old wise rabbit who's lived in a cave for decades. He loves to watch television and drink astringent green tea. Mr. Usagi is not into any new materials. I don't know what that means. He's not into any new materials and does not own a telephone. And he likes carrots. His favorite food is carrots, and his least favorite food is something that is meaningless.
Something that is meaningless?
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Wow. I imagine something like cotton candy adjacent, where like you do consume a thing, but it dissolves before it becomes sustenance.
I don't understand why. Okay, the further I get into this, the more batshit insane it gets, and emphasis on the bat, because the other characters, we didn't see the bat characters in the Kiss and Cry, but also in the cave live two bats, a mother named Maya and her child Mario. And then I shit you not, I'm just going to read you verbatim the next two sentences in this thing. It says, Maya suffers from alcoholism. Her favorite foods are seasonal, while her least favorite food is alcohol. That's so fucking sad. Okay. Mario's favorite food is Japanese-style tomato spaghetti, and his favorite food is shiitake mushrooms. What is happening in this paragraph? I'm like,
so much is occurring. I am very confused.
I'm really confused. My heart is breaking. And then the other character, I thought it was a bear. Turns out it is, the other character's name is Tashana, and she is either a polar bear or a weasel girl, is what it says.
Sure.
She's 17.
Okay,
so I have a lot of questions about Tashana. Tashana is, she aspires to either be a fashion stylist or a model. She's always using technology. In English, she has a weaselly accent. I don't know what the hell that means. I guess it says, parentheses, bear in mind weasels in Japan are not associated with underhandedness. Oh, yeah, that's true. Aww. That's otters. This is the sentence that I'm fixated on.
Okay.
She has not had a boyfriend in 10 years, and she is seeking a platonic boyfriend. Couple things here. She's 17. She had a boyfriend when she was 7?
Well, she had one of those, like, bestie at the playground, and she's like, this is my boyfriend. Like, that's the only thing that makes sense.
It has to.
Unless she ages differently. Unless it's, like, I don't know, like, how you can calculate dog years and human years and stuff like that. So she's been on Earth for, like, 17 human years, but in her lifetime, that's, like...
Yeah, it's possible. I also want to say she has a passion for bidding in auctions, but she gives up by the end. Relatable queen, I guess.
I respect that for her. She does have some problems with, like, vices.
They all seem to, and I appreciate that they were kind of given, like, that full depth of character, even though they are secondary characters in the world of a mascot in these little 10-second stop-motion bumpers on a news channel. I think that that's really commitment to the craft. She's so cute, though. I love her.
She is very cute. I'm looking at pictures of them right now to get the full immersion.
It's really adorable. Wow. I want to look these up and watch them now. So that's what I'm going to be doing later. But anyway, I just wanted to give you the context of that.
I appreciate that very much. Do we think they diegetically skate? Like, she likes mushrooms, and also she skates at figure skating galas. Do we think that's part of it?
I really hope so. And I will say also that Domo-kun gave out a special award at the gala. There was an audience choice award, which went to Cow, which was really cute. And then Domo-kun and friends gave an award to the Georgians. And they were like, what's happening? It was very cute. But there's that. And then also all of the women received a Domo-kun and a little dress, and the men received a domokun and a little blouse. And I want to say that the little blouse was great. It slapped. It had texture. It had puff in the sleeves. And I'm like, domokun is putting in more effort into his costume, fellas, than many of you are.
Ooh. Yeah, you're not wrong.
So maybe the gauntlet has been thrown down.
The plushy mascot gauntlet has been thrown down. Hey, this is an episode.
It sure is. It sure is an episode. And we could not make these episodes without the help of our wonderful patrons. And I will thank them for you now.
Hit me.
Jules, Madison, Cricket, Brooke, Michelle, Laura, T, Christine, Elise, Rhea, Elizabeth, Anna, Mandolin Arts, Robin is Trans and Tired, Tracy, Josiah, Sabrina, Alina, Catherine, Margaret, Robert, Vox Machina, Samantha, Samira, Joseph, KM, Jennifer, Jules, and Jordan. I did that kind of like the poke rap.
You kind of did. Thank you guys so much. You help us keep the lights on in the Metaphorical Studio. And we also just very much enjoy and appreciate and cherish your support. We will be back on the ever so tanking social media that exists in the world this week for Finland, for the Finlandia Trophy, Grand Prix Finlandia. And we look forward to seeing you there. And we hope you're taking care of yourself. And call a friend. Ask them what they think about a 22-year-old performing Billie Eilish.
Ask them what they think about a 17-year-old weasel girl who's been single for 10 years.
Ask them if they... I don't have a third one. We'll see you soon, guys.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.